Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And as we can tell, there's going to be this undying hope that we're going to be saved by a politician. I don't care what anybody tells you. Trump does not have the constitutional power, nor does Biden have the constitutional power to do anything that any of these people tell you they're going to do. And we have to really look at it this way. We got to be happy that good people are people with noble intent and people with nefarious intent don't have the constitutional power to inflict this type of pain and this type of injury upon us as a people, as a republic, and as a government. And so I got to be very, very clear that the only way we are going to save our liberties, our republic, and our constitution is by getting the state legislators to do their job. I understand that we need to teach everybody. I can't do that. But we can teach leaders. We can train the trainers, and the leaders can be doing the teaching. It's really not that complicated. But unfortunately, there's so much misinformation regarding what's constitutional, what isn't constitutional. I mean, there are a bunch of people that have been formally educated on constitutional law that don't even understand the Constitution. I was trying to help an individual who is a constitutional lawyer, and he's complaining to these conservatives because he's a conservative. And he's going, hey, you guys are talking about things, you know, that's constitutional, and you never advise me to get involved in this stuff. Why is that? So I reached out trying to talk to the guy, and I started asking him a bunch of questions and trying to explain to him, hey, I'm sorry about all the questions. I'm just trying to, you know, help. Trying to help you figure out maybe, you know, you may not see yourself as the problem, but based on your education and how you've embraced bad information may make it so that you were excluded. And if you're going to, you know, take the professional position that everything you've learned, whether it be from Hillsdale College, I think this guy actually went to the Liberty Institute. I'd have to go back and look, but I think it was something like Liberty University, something like that. And it doesn't matter. I really don't care. I question the veracity and I question the level of education they have truly on the Constitution. Because unless you're going through the source documents, you don't need to go through an accredited school to understand the Constitution to the nth degree. And as a matter of fact, I believe that there are people that have been listening to the show that have been reading and going through these source documents, the ratification debates. They're having that epiphany as well. They're starting to really get it. They're starting to completely understand. This thing is a compact. It's not this, you know, this general base of power that they can do anything they want. No way. That doesn't exist. Which is why it doesn't exist for Trump to do, let alone Biden. But I'm telling you that anybody that wants to exercise that power, and you know good patriots that are willing to give that power to that president to do, that's a bad thing as well. Because if we're not doing it right, if we're not following the process from those who have the authority and power based on the framework of the Constitution, which are the state legislators, then we're equally culpable of being a part of the problem. And so I just want you to know that, you know, we've got, what, 9 days until the inauguration of the not our president. And I think that we need to start creating these acronyms or these definers such as NOP, not our president. And so that way people understand who you are. That, you know, this is a person that is an illegitimate president, and that's how we're going to view him. I mean, there were already evidences that Obama was an illegitimate president in so many different ways, and voter fraud was one of those. But as we had witnessed in this election, that both the fraud in the election as well as the unconstitutional, because never has there been a day in history of an election in America of the president, the choosing of the president, where flagrant violation of the Constitution and an unconstitutional electoral college place ballots for somebody that they had no constitutional standing or authority to do. You're not an electoral college if you are not selected via the codified systematic process identified in the Constitution. You have been appointed, even though there's the appointment anyway, only the state legislators have the authority to change the manner in how electors are chosen in the election process, whether it be by, you know, mail-in, whether it be electronically, however they do it. Only the state legislators have that authority, and 31 states violated that. That's why we've been talking for a month now, almost, over the petition in removing and throwing out the Electoral College. And that's just one separate issue. But let's not bog down on that. What we're really talking about is what we need to do and how do we need to move forward. As you know, the show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And we also want you to know that this is still the only show. This is the only show that gives you the irrefutable evidence and the irrefutable argument of what has happened, what we need to do, and how we need to do it. We have a comment line. We do have this call-in. Call in now, but actually what we want you to do is call in the comment line. Call this number right now if you want to make a comment, or as you're driving and you think here's the smart thing. If you want to actually start getting engaged, dial this number right now. If you've got a phone in your hand, dial it, and then you can enter it into your memory so that as you're driving along or while you're sitting at home and you go, you know what? Hey, I'm going to call this number because I got a comment for GR. I'm thinking about this, and how does this make sense? Or, wow, does anybody else see or recognize this or that? 425-270-5416. Call that number if you've got a question and or a comment, or you pose a worthy interview to have a discussion on the deeper topic, or I should say delve into the topics much deeper into more of an interview fashion conversation. Because I believe this is how, in the new age of information, because not everybody, you know, my show is not broadcast. This is a national show, and not everybody lines up at the right time. For the West Coast, it's different. And for the East Coast, I mean, 6 o'clock East Coast time, a lot of people are in their cars driving. They can't necessarily call, or they may want to call if they're actually streaming, but if they have an old car, they may not be able to stream. Our show may not be on your airwaves. So let's start actually having the very rational approach of engaging each other. You can download the podcast. You can do the call-in number. And oh, by the way, if you're calling in, which I forget what that number is, I'd have to look at the webpage. I think it's 605 or 650. Anyway, if you do the listen line, and in our promotions, we talk about the listen line. If you do that listen line, then you can't call me, because you'd have to hang up to then call me. So what we want to do is we want to avail ourselves to you 24/7, and we will get to every call. We will get to the questions and or comments that you have. We will cover those under the marketing days, or when we're not going, the non-comment days or content days. Today's a non-content day. We're not really going through founding or source documents or what have you. But we will be covering some more source documents before we get into the ratification debates. As you know, we try to teach you what your responsibilities are. Everybody, man or woman, because right now I don't believe there's a differentiator in militias in some states where I think they've gotten rid of the gender that both men and women can and should serve, because I think many states have adopted the U.S. military adaption of, you know, being a non-divisive gender type of fighting force. And so if you're a woman and you live in a state that has women in their militia, then yes, you need to be a part of the militia. And every militia member, this is where we want to go with this. Every militia member needs to become a part of the National Liberty Alliance and is helpful or becomes a part of using the National Liberty Alliance. And when I say their education, it'll be our education, because we're going to, and this is going to take some time, but what we want people to do is we want people to understand that the Constitution's a contract. When we talk about the Constitution, we want to talk into it in the very specific framework that the framers talked about it. There's a lot of other content that the National Liberty Alliance teaches, like committeemen, county committeemen, you know, and so forth. And you know, the militia, there's a lot of different topics to delve into. But when it comes down to the Constitution, I want to be very clear. The Constitution is a compact, and the Constitution is an enumerated compact, just like a power of attorney. Anyway, when we come back and go through these two promos, we will be moving forward with what we need to do. We'll be right back. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so as we're just going to kind of go past all the obligatories. I just want to reemphasize, if you want to call, if you have a question or a comment, dial at any point in time, not just now, because we won't pick up now, but we will answer your question and or comment in a preceding show. And so 425-270-5416. We've already had a couple of people call. We've already done this a few times. And so what we want you to do is dial that number now. Even if you don't even leave a message, you'll have the history in your phone. You can label it as a contact the Reclaiming the Republic phone number, and there you go. And even though the answer machine says Mobius Strip Press, that is the publishing company. So anyhow, hopefully this helps so that you can actually start getting involved. If you've been listening and you haven't ever reached out, we have never connected, but you've got questions or comments, there's a mechanism to do that. And we want to make sure you're painfully aware, because that's why we go over this. And so anyway, 425-270-5416. Now, I kind of mentioned that we want to start creating these acronyms, NOP, Not Our President. And we, by so doing, it kind of creates a, you know, like when kids talk LOL, you didn't understand what that meant. Well, it's time that we create our own so that we understand what it means and maybe others don't. But it just simplifies. And over time, people will, and when Biden walks through an area or, you know, steps into front of a bunch of people, and next thing you know, you hear NOP, NOP, NOP. Well, then if he doesn't understand, he will soon, because he will start hearing, oh, well, that chant means that you're not our president. Anyway, what we are and what we're doing is the Reclaiming the Republic as a movement. And this is why we've got this radio. This is why we've got, you know, the phone calls and Reclaiming the Republic. We are working with other organizations. And I feel our role and responsibility as the Reclaiming the Republic movement is to get groups to unite. We're going to list names of who's uniting and who's not. Because I want you to understand, quit wasting time on groups that are not willing to unite. Now, the grassroots, as most people understand, is there's two sides to this. Most people understand it, but some people don't. What does grassroots mean? Well, let's just look at the blade of grass. There are two sides to a blade of grass. On one side of the blade of the grass is the political party grassroots movement. On the other side is the civics activist grassroots movement. And so we, as a nation of laws, actually have laws that govern those two entities separately. And actually, there's more than just two regarding the civic and or activist groups. But there is one set of laws that governs parties. And so the political party is a grassroots movement. You have people that are working at precincts, you know, knocking on doors and working their way up. You have the same thing with civic activist organizations, whether that be abortion or these nonprofit organizations, even churches. The point is that we need to get both of these to work together. The political party, we're never going to get the Republican or the Democrat, and I'll even say I don't think we'll get the Libertarian Party to actually, you know, concede and focus on the Constitution. But we do have the Constitution Party. And the Constitution Party is that one side of the blade of grass that we want to work with. On the other side of the blade of grass, the NLA is one of those organizations. The We the People Foundation is another one of those organizations that are unifying and will be working with the party. We're trying to create symbiotic relationships and try to develop synergy. And you know, I use those two words, as I said before, because they typically make the hair on the back of the neck of a millennial kind of stand up when they hear those words. And I don't understand why, other than it's more of a programming, behavioral thing than anything else. What we have to stop doing is we have to stop having faith in a king, a monarch, a politician, or anybody that, oh, the president can do this. No. The president's job is very focused on one thing, enforcing the laws faithfully. Well, until we challenge and until we, this is why I said, if I was Trump, if I was president of the United States, The first order of business would be like what George Washington did. I would travel to every state and get down to as local as I possibly could so that everybody would hear my message. And my message would be this, that I, as president, am committed to protecting you for the next 4 years while you get your states to do their doggone job in taking back the powers that the federal government has usurped from you. I will call back my enforcement agencies and neuter them or keep them from being able to stop you so that you can get rid of federal tyranny at the state level and work together on the necessary measures in getting the federal government back into compliance. So we have to stop, back to what I was just saying, we have to stop having faith that a king is actually going to do that. 9 times out of 10, it flies in the face of human nature. When a person has obtained a seat of power, it is antithetical for them to even consider reducing their power. The natural tendency of any person when they have stepped into the ring of power, to the mantle of power, is to aggrandize that, is to make it greater, give themselves more power. I don't see Trump as the guy that's out there dismantling anything. There's no evidence of that. For years, there's no evidence of that. This is why we should be looking for a president that wants to champion the states to do their job. We should be looking for a president that's willing to protect them to do their job. Anyway, my focus will be first on politics. That's me. And I believe that on the party side, the politics side of grassroots, what we need to do is we need to embrace the party organization, or at least get them organizing on the fundamentals of full enforcement of the Constitution. That is it. That can be the only thing that becomes the priority du jour, the priority of the day, is to ensure that the party's platform, the party's bylaws, is all about getting people to support the full enforcement of the Constitution, demand republic review, get everybody moving in the direction that we are going to get the federal government into compliance and the state governments into compliance. That simple. If we focus in that capacity in doing that in a party organization such as the Constitution Party, we are that much closer to being successful. So the next thing, and one of the things we talked about, and now moving on to where we were, one of the things we talked about was the bad guy. In the last episode, I identified that there are these different players out there that are bad guys. We have to realize that there are bad people. There are bad people that we think are good people. Anybody that is supporting the status quo, that is not supporting taking active measures in obtaining compliance, in working politically, in obtaining compliance, and those types of things, such as republic review and so forth, that person's a bad actor. It's a bad player. He's a bad guy, bad gal. They're bad. And so what we need to do is we need to understand anybody that opposes in any way or champions the status quo, well, we just got to do better in electing Republicans. No. That has been a part of the problem. And we have to start acknowledging that we have been engrossed in participating in the problem. This is why we need to start focusing on who the good guys are. And the good guys themselves need to be politically organized. And when I say politically organized, that means that they need to, they have the ranks in the PCOs. Because see, if you've ever gone to a party, and right now the reorgs are going, but this is one of the things we covered last. What do they do when they go through the reorg, the county reorg? They have this big convention, and everybody gets to input on the platform. And during the reorg, they basically say the platform should say this. We should be protecting babies from 3 months on, or however they want to define something that is irrelevant. Because politically, the only thing that is relevant is the Constitution. Anything that is irrelevant are those things that are not within the Constitution that government has no business even discussing. Abortion has no business government discussing other than state government. But right now, we need to be demanding that the federal government acknowledge the fact that it has no enumerated power over life and therefore has no jurisdiction, no power whatsoever to be involved in the dialogue, courts, rulings, or anything regarding life and abortion. Stand back. You have no authority here. Anyway, we'll be right back and we'll talk more about what we need to do and how good guys need to get organized. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so let's define. At this point, these are the good guys that I know. These are the people that are actually working and positioned in embracing the Constitution and amenable at this point in time, still amenable to working with others. And that's the We the People Foundation, Bob Schultz and John Durash with the National Liberty Alliance. So on the activist side, the grassroots activist side, then those are the two organizations. We hope to grow that list. I believe that there may be other organizations out there that will be coming to the table and saying, we do these things and we want to, you know, help you. Because bottom line, let's say there's something that the National Liberty Alliance on the activist side, not on the party side, because most of this stuff would probably be on the civics activist side instead of the political side. And so let's say somebody comes along and says that they are doing, the Bob Schultz organization is doing petitions. So why would the National Liberty Alliance spend as much effort other than framework support for the petitioning effort? Okay, then, you know, in other words, the National Liberty Alliance takes a supporting role of what Bob Schultz would be doing with the National Liberty Alliance. But Bob Schultz may not be the end all. And as a matter of fact, I'll tell you right now, he's not. Bob Schultz cannot write and do every petition. The intent in my working with Bob Schultz is to help educate you so that you can start creating your own petitions and you can become a petition warrior in, you know, all the different areas where you happen to live, reside, or what have you. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a county issue. It could be a state issue, so forth and so on. As you can see, the First Amendment right of petition does not limit you to one petition a day or a week or a type or topic or anything like that. So anyway, there may be another organization that is doing something such as militias. You know, there are militias that exist. And what we want to do is we want to start joining and conjoining membership. So if you're a part of the NLA, you should be a part of the We the People Foundation as well. Anyway, we need to start supporting the organizations that are unifying in the solution to get government back into the framework of the Constitution. This is so important. This is why we have to be supporters. And so one of the things we haven't even addressed yet is for the National Liberty Alliance is membership dues or fees or what have you, so that the organization can actually start having the necessary funding, not to pay people, but just to get things done. Anyway, the politics and so forth and the grassroots, civic activist, grassroots stuff, these two, again, must work together and hold each other accountable to the Constitution. In other words, if the NLA is doing something that is not within the framework of the Constitution, or they're purporting, supporting, they're presenting a concept that is outside the framework of the Constitution, they need to be called on the rug for it. The same thing with the political party. We have to hold each other accountable, and everybody must at least acknowledge the fact that, hey, we may be aligned wrong, and over time, we are going to be positioned better. I can tell you with the Republic Review, as it started, it did not have what I would say was, you know, the definitions, and it didn't have the focus and the layout of what really needed to happen. And it wasn't until I really started looking more and more at the resolutions of what Jefferson and Madison did at that point. It was basically those things kind of helped galvanize and fill the gaps and actually help, I'll just say, perfect what that process really is. So anyway, moving on, right? Politically, at the county chair of the politics of the Constitution Party, the party has to do a reorg every 2 years. It should be a part of the bylaws. And so when they do their reorg, they also need to look at the bylaws. So the bylaws is something that I believe needs to radically change. And we can get into that down the road. But the other thing that needs to radically change is the platform. Some things that need to be injected in both the bylaws as well as processes is candidate vetting. If you understand the importance of vetting a candidate and getting behind somebody by giving them your endorsement, you have to have a very good vetting process. Same thing with I'm trying to think of another type of topic that the party would be dealing with. You got the vetting, you have the platform, you have the bylaws. Then you have some basic operations like actually going and knocking on doors and helping educate people what your slate is. So what is a slate? The slate itself is the list of candidates who you openly embrace and endorse because they are full ardent supporters of the Constitution and fulfilling their oath of office. Another thing that has to occur, and this is where we started getting down into the elephant in the room. The other thing that the party has to do, this needs to be a part of the bylaws, and it needs to also be tied with the platform, that the party needs to actually do a political review of every person that just got elected. Every time a person is elected, you need to go through and identify, is this person, and you may not know. You may need to just flag it and say, okay, we got to review this. This is something that you don't do just once. This is something that you have to do, if not monthly, every other month. You have to review the candidate. Is the candidate voting? Is the candidate doing things that supports the fundamental premise of our party? If it doesn't, and that's that candidate, or I should say that public servant, is actually doing things that violate the platform of the party, that are antithetical to what the party believes, then the party needs to hold them accountable, especially if they're wearing the party brand. And so this has to be another thing that is included in the party process, or I should say laid out, both in the bylaws as well as in the platform, as well as the vetting process and so forth. It is important. You got to understand that the party is the employer of the politician in almost 90% of America. Now, there may be people that, oh, well, this is a nonpartisan position or what have you, but 90% of the time, whatever that person wears as a party will dictate whether that person wins or not. That's because in most, go look at the red map, or I should say the map of the United States, because it's primarily red, of all the different counties that are red. And you go, oh my gosh, there's a lot of people that are employed that are Republicans. Well, we need to change that to parchment. But what we need to do is we need to ensure that the bylaws, again, going back to bylaws, platform, vetting, and the other processes, that the party is identifying these people and calling them out and holding them accountable. One of the things that we learned in business, in, you know, getting people, you know, in assisting morale, let's just call it that. One of the things that really has a bad effect on the morale of the work culture, the workforce, is when people can break the rules and they're not held accountable. That really takes the motivation and the, I'll just say it has an effect on the culture of your workforce. And so when you hold the high ground and you hold people accountable, people actually like that. They believe that that's what a good organization should do. Hold people accountable. Therefore, we need to kind of go down that exact same path and going through an annual, bi-monthly, and whatever that process is of not just the candidates, but those who are in public office. And this is what we should do. We should write a letter, and if you're the chair of your county and you have the full list of everybody, you have the conversation going name by name by name. Does this person's alleged Republican? Does this person support our platform? Does this person support the Constitution fully? If there's anything negative, you have to identify those things. And then you communicate to each and every one of these people you just talked about. And you speak very specifically. You don't just create a word, you know, a form letter that says, hey, congratulations, you know, but we're expecting things of you. No, you need to be very specific, and you need to call them out on things that you have concern with. And at this point, because you are so concerned with these issues, that you are currently, as the party, working on identifying somebody to replace them. You do that, you send that message, and I'm here to tell you that the politician that receives that message is going to be worried, because now they know they're fighting the party. And who's the party again? I told you earlier, the party is the employer of the politician. We'll be right back after these two promos. Please hang on. We'll be right back. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so what the party and what we were just saying is the party actually has to sit down and talk about the elephants and donkeys in the room. And so they have to identify each public servant, whether they're of their party or not. It does not matter. They need to basically go through and identify how these people, how, you know, are seriously being questioned as to their veracity of being a public servant and somebody that has taken the oath of office, because they don't understand their oath, their lack of understanding, and those types of things. And you have to challenge them and call them to question. And so in so doing, you send these letters out. And in these letters, you ask them to provide updated status, that they provide you with how they voted, the, you know, committees that they're on, what they're doing, and their positions. And in so doing, they'll be able to give you the fodder necessary to say, well, because these are your positions, we're convinced that we need to replace you. Now, they may not even talk to you. If they don't even talk to you in your first letter to say, if we do not have, as the party of this particular county, if we're not getting dialogue from you, then we basically have to, you know, I don't want to say reserve, but we have to basically resolve, or we have to, you know, take the position that we are no longer having any faith and trust, and we're moving forward in identifying who will be your replacement. Now, I'm telling you, when a politician reads this letter that's been delivered and signed, you know, like a certified letter, wow, what's a certified letter? Oh, it's from the party. And all of a sudden, they open up this certified letter, and they're reading this stuff. If they don't, and you basically put it out there, if you're not going to cooperate as our public servant and not going to give us the information we need, then we have no other option than to conclude that you are an inadequate public servant, because we believe we are your constituent. We believe that we are significant because we are the party apparatus for this particular county. And then what you do, and this is the best part, after you've created this relationship and whether you have the, you know, the feedback and that type of thing moving to where things are going good, then great. But if you don't, you don't even have any conversation whatsoever with this person. And let's just pretend that the person we're talking about happens to be a state legislator. Could be a county commissioner, but in this case, a state legislator. So they're in session twice during their 2 years. And so what you do, because their first year, obviously, they just won their election. They start their first session. The second session is their last year, and then they're going to run for office after they fulfill that term in office. Well, what do you do? Well, as you've told them in the first letter, in their first season and first year, we are going to start working with and identifying and nurturing a replacement. So what you do, and this is the beautiful part, you send that person that you've identified to introduce them. But what you do is you give that person a letter from you so that you can basically say, hey, you know, we've asked this person to deliver this letter, and we want you to know that this is the person that we have found qualified to replace you. Do you understand what you just did? Do you understand how you just exercised your authority over that party name to say that this person, we believe, represents the party? Wow. Wow. And so even if that person is of a different party, because there are times if you don't have a good candidate at that point in time and you've got a bad candidate in office, you are better off voting in a new bad candidate every year than you are for keeping the old bad candidate in office every year. Why? Why is that important? Because as a person becomes more familiarized, they become more good at learning what needs to be done and how to be effective and actually having those impacts. The first year of a brand new candidate that becomes a politician, they're trying to figure out who are their allies, who can they work with. You don't leave them in office for any more than this one term. Get rid of them. Even if you don't have a Republican to replace the bad Republican in, you put a Democrat in. If you're a solid red county, then the fact is that you say, hey, this guy is so bad, we're going to put a Democrat in just so we have this position earmarked to be replaced. Guess what happens? Because I guarantee you this will happen. That Democrat will do anything and everything they can to prove to you that you can trust them. And this is how you get Democrats to actually be better Republicans than rhinos are. And there you go. But bottom line is, this person is not fully there where you need them to be. You know what? A Democrat can convert to become a constitutionalist, and they can prove themselves, and they have to prove themselves. But if you, as the employer, do not exercise any levels of control over that individual to say, we want to see how you're voting. We want to see, you know, how you're making your arguments. We want to see those, you know, everything it is you're doing to prove that you're worthy of another term. There it is. I mean, these things, to me, these things are just, you know, no-brainers. This is just what you should be doing. But when I look at the parties and why they don't do this, it's a very, very specific reason. They want you to have, and they want to have all of these politicians, you know, working in all of these different directions because there's no good level of control. And so that means that through the chaos, they can direct very specific outcomes that better the agenda for the party. But if you have a tight control and everything is moving towards compliance, then the party itself, with at least the Democrats and Republicans, sees that as a real threat. Friends, these people aren't stupid. and they're very smart, and they're creatures of preservation. So they're going to try to do everything they possibly can if they know this is a parchment county. In other words, it's not red, it's not blue, it's all about the Constitution. That, whether it's a rhino, whether it's a Democrat, it doesn't matter. They are going to understand, oh, well, I have to behave at least in, you know, 80%, 70% of these issues. I have to, you know, seem like I'm enough of a good person for them to keep me. And as far as I'm concerned, that is the biggest mistake parties make. So, anyway, the Republican, Libertarian, and Democrat parties do not support the Constitution, and you need to prove this. So over the next few months, as the reorgs and everything else happens, you need to be at those meetings. You need to have somebody go, and you need to have somebody provide the details of how much Constitution and constitutional education is being offered by the party. After you go for 2-3 months and people go, hey, we think you'd make a good PCO or something. We'd like to get you involved. Why don't you join the party so we can make you a captain or do something? What you do is you say, well, I notice you guys don't embrace the Constitution and you don't teach the Constitution. You know, if you started doing that, as a matter of fact, why don't you let me start teaching you the Constitution? And there you go. Because what you're now going to be doing is you're going to be educating and changing the hearts and minds of those people within that organization that have been bred and led to believe in the party agenda, and now placing their trust, faith, and confidence in the Constitution, which is contrary to the party itself. You will find that you have now created a what I'll call critical mass for a large conversion of those people who joined the party because that's what they love. They love the Constitution. They want liberty. They want those constitutional values. And they realize that the party itself is not going to give it to them because they're going to drop those Constitution lessons. They're going to drop those things that are, I'll just say, they're going to drop those things that are most precious regarding the Constitution, the constitutional process, roles, responsibilities, powers, and so forth. So only the Constitution Party, when it comes to all these other parties, fully supports the Constitution. Now, I will say that in the very beginning, I don't think the Constitution Party had a real good handle, because until somebody can articulate exactly how the Department of Transportation is unconstitutional, you know, most people don't want to be the one to challenge that. Do you remember when Governor Perry, I forget his first name, but Governor Perry of Texas, when he was running in the 2012 election, and it seemed like the party was really promoting him over Romney, and they were heading into an election, and he made a comment at one of the debates that the Social Security was unconstitutional, and he actually made statements after the fact leading into the next debate. Prior to the next debate, he was confronted by the media before he even got on the stand and said, you know, in the debate, he basically, they asked him, do you really believe that Social Security is unconstitutional? And he recanted. And when he did that, that, along with a few other things, was instrumental in taking the wind out of his sails. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. And I think you're starting to see exactly how we can reclaim the Republic. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.